I'm going to ask that you all stand. We pledge allegiance to the flag. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're a nation in trouble. We know in Psalm 33:12, you have said, blessed is the nation whose God, our God, is Lord. We've turned our backs on you. We don't deserve your mercy and your grace. But it's time for Christian people to stand in America. We were founded as one nation under God. And Lord, we've strayed so far. And those of us who love you and adore you have just cowered under, and our voice is not heard. And we realize it's time for us to stand. And we pray for an evangelistic and evangelical revival. Let it begin here today. Thank you for those that are here who've taken time out of this holiday weekend to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be pleasing unto you as we study your word together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. America was founded in 1776, in a place called Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our nation was born. In 2020, America needs to be born again. I'm afraid in many ways, America is like old Israel. Back in those Old Testament days, all the way to the New Testament days, God chose them as his people. They would obey, he would bless, they would disobey, and then comes judgment. God has blessed, and America has turned their back on him. God is a holy God. He must exercise judgment. There's so many today who are trying to revise our history. And ladies and gentlemen, your tax money and mine is paying for that in our public schools and also in our colleges and universities. We hear so much about globalism, that we should no longer be American citizens, but be a part of the global community. And what that means is we just take down all the political barriers. We're not American citizens anymore. We all just belong to one big group worldwide under one world leader and under one church. I want you to know, if you read the book of Revelation, that is part of Satan's plot to bring the world under a one world government and a one world church. Back in 1776, the Second Continental Congress was meeting in Philadelphia at the Pennsylvania State House, later called Independence Hall. And on June the 7th, Richard Henry Lee from Virginia stood with this resolution: resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, and they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Then the die was cast. June the 11th, 1776, a committee was formed for the express purpose of drafting the document that would sever the ties with Great Britain. On July 1st, Congress reconvened. And the following day, the Lee Resolution was adopted and approved by 12 of the 13 original colonies. And I want you to know, Congress began to consider the declaration drawn up by the committee. And the late afternoon of July 4, 1776, the document known as the Declaration of Independence was officially adopted. and the church bells rang throughout Philadelphia. Now listen to this carefully. I believe with all my heart, starting with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that all lives matter. He came, Jesus came, that no one should perish. But look what the architects did with the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These 56 American heroes signed the Declaration. Most of them paid for those signatures with their lives and their fortunes. I love America, but I do not love what America has become. Politicians disappoint me. Political correctness angers me because people want to censor your First Amendment right to state your opinion. And the political correct police out here, if they can change what you say and muffle what you say, they can change the way you think. And all of us as Christians ought to come from a biblical worldview. And I want you to know that the Supreme Court distresses me. The moral decline of our country, as well as liberalism in our churches, disturbs me. Yet in spite of all of that, there's some things that I really love about our country. First of all is our founding. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. This nation, and I don't care what revisionists do or what liberals say, was founded upon biblical principles. You can't change it. It's etched in the stones of history. You can tear down every statue you want to, but the truth marches on. Now watch this closely. Of the 55 colonial delegates to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, 52 were members of Christian churches, and 3 of them claimed to be deists. And when you study the 17,000 written works generated by the Constitutional Convention, those authors, you'll find that 34% of their quotations in those 17,000 written works came from the Bible. The two most quoted non-biblical writers were European legal writers with clear biblical views about law and government. George Washington, the father of our country, said this, listen to this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Well, some of these Democratic mayors that set up these safe zones saw crime increase 500%. How many more clinical trials do you need? And then some of the revisionists say that Washington was not a Christian, and the truth is that Washington was led to Christ by a Baptist preacher on the battlefield during the Revolutionary War and was baptized in a creek. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians, not on religions but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this reason, people of other faiths have flourished in America." James Madison, "We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." The preamble to the Constitution I read for you a while ago. "We're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, not granted by government, but granted by God." Thomas Jefferson began the practice of sending missionaries out to the Indians, a practice that was continued well into the 19th century, paid for by federal funds. And then I want you to know that in the 19th century, that continued, and then during the time of Jefferson, Bibles were placed in the public schools in Washington, D.C., at federal expense. Washington, D.C. is another country now. Can you imagine that happening today? And then as you walk up the steps of the Supreme Court, you can see a row of statues that are there honoring the memory of some of the people that actually were involved in our founding. And I want you to know that all of those statues, as you walk up the steps of the Supreme Court, face one in the middle, and it is the statue of Moses. As you're in the Supreme Court, the oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on the lower portion of each door. The wall above where the justices sit, guess what? Displays the Ten Commandments that's not allowed in other courtrooms across our nation. There are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. Every session of Congress begins with prayer from a chaplain that's been paid with federal dollars since 1777. First Supreme Court Justice John Jay, listen to what he said. Americans should select and prefer Christian leaders. We're talking about practicing Christians here, and this is something we have not done. You're going to hear the speeches. We're all God's children. We're all in this together. We're all God's creation. But only those who are born again, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and adopted into the family of God are children of the living God. Then on the aluminum cap atop the Washington Monument are two words, Laus Deo. And it simply means, praise be to God. Then if you fly over Washington, I understand from the top of the monument, you can see 69 square miles. And the city of Washington, D.C. is broken up into four quadrants. You've got Washington, we've got the White House in Washington to the north. And then to the south, you've got the Jefferson Monument. And then to the east, you've got the Capitol. And to the west, you've got the Lincoln Memorial. In the cornerstone of the Washington Monument, don't tell the liberals, there is the Bible. Listen to me carefully. The walls of the Capitol Dome have these words, the New Testament according to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the rotunda of the Capitol is a figure of the crucified cross. There's a Latin phrase translated there, God has smiled on our undertaking. And then inscribed on the great seal of the United States, Micah 6:8 is on the walls of the Library of Congress. The greatness of the founding of America is recorded in the ink of her involvement with God. From the Pilgrims to Jonathan Edwards to the Great Awakenings, the revivals of the 1700s and 1800s, the Puritans were described as prudes. But I want you to know they stood on the Word of God in the way they live their lives. Listen to this. America is right in her founding. Of the 55 colonial delegates to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, 52 or 94.5% of the members of the Constitutional Convention were all Christians. Notice the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate this week. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, were founded from a biblical world view. When the Continental Congress was faced with great problems and they didn't know exactly what to do, I want you to know that Benjamin Franklin called on the members of Congress to get on their knees and pray for wisdom from God. Ladies and gentlemen, we bow our knees to God as Americans, and we salute our flag as Americans. Listen to me carefully. This is the spirit that built America. Our 28th president, Woodrow Wilson, said this, America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. Are you ready for socialism? I was reading the other day about a lady named Gerda Klein. And I want you to know that she was captured along with 4,000 others by the Nazis. She nearly died from being overworked in a prison camp. And then they took all 4,000 of these Jews out on a 350-mile death walk. As they went along that path, randomly, the Nazi soldiers would just bring out some to kill. They'd take the bayonets on the end of the guns, run them through, shoot them, whatever. Allied troops came in and they were able to rescue. And I want you to know, out of the 4,000 that were in that death march, only 120 survived. When she was found, her age was 20 years of age. She had lost down to 68 pounds. She had pieces of rags on for clothes, and the Nazis had not let her bathe for 3 years. Back in 2011, she was given the Presidential's Medal of Freedom. And here's what she said. Even a boring day is a beautiful day if you're living in freedom. I love our founding. I love the freedoms that we enjoy, and we owe that to our founding fathers. There's an anti-American trend today. It's anti-patriotic. It demeans the sovereignty and the freedom of the United States. People want to revise our history to undermine the character and the integrity of our founding fathers, and we're told that they were not the people that we've learned in history that way they were. In fact, some say that those that were involved in the Declaration of Independence were just out to gain wealth and control. Well, let me share with you. Those who signed the Declaration of Independence, most of them were already wealthy. I did some research and found out that 24 were lawyers, 9 were rich landowners of rich farms, 11 were merchants. The others were doctors, preachers, and politicians. All but 2 who signed had families. They were educated men of standing in their community. They felt that there was something more than security and freedom involved here. Many of the signers paid the ultimate price. They wound up being killed for their convictions and their signatures on the document. Young people of America need to know this. When you see the red stripes on the flag, you need to think about from the time of this Revolutionary War to the date that the men and women in the armed forces have shed their blood so that you can experience the freedom that you have in America. It's expensive. We don't understand that fully unless one of our own family members gave their lives for this freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know God has given us freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I can preach without fear of being muzzled. I know I share Bible-based convictions, and many of our church members have left. You see, God doesn't care what my opinion is. And he doesn't allow me to pick and choose what's true and what's not, what I want to believe. And I'm not trying to be abrasive with people, but it's time somebody stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord in America." Now listen to me carefully. You can criticize the President of the United States without fear of any persecution. The fake media, they do it on TV 24/7. Go to China. You criticize their leaders, you'll never be seen again. America has religious freedom. We've got to appreciate how great this is and the blood that was shed to give it to us. Humble Baptist preacher years ago, now by the name of Roger Williams, was so persecuted for his beliefs that he fled with a few followers to a place called Rhode Island, and he founded the city of Providence. And you know what Providence is? Just another name for God. In the Constitution of that state, he wrote down the decree that every man should be permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Then how many times do we hear, oh, we've got to have separation of church and state? That is nowhere in the Constitution of the United States. You know where that's from. It came from Thomas Jefferson. The Danbury Baptist Association in Connecticut heard a rumor that Congress was going to take the Congregationalist denomination and make them the church of the state. Well, the Danbury Association said, you know, we are to live through that over in England. We're not going to do that over here. And so he addressed them on January the 1st, 1802. And Jefferson let them know that there was a separation of church and state. His interpretation of the First Amendment, not in the First Amendment, but he said that our nation will not establish a national religion. Now listen to me carefully. You agree with me that God ordained government? Amen? Now, not the kind that we have all the time, but he ordained government. Let me ask you another question. Did God ordain the church? Well, tell me this. If God ordained government and God ordained the church, why should Christians stay silent about what goes on in government? And if you don't vote, you forego your right to have anything to say about what's going on in our nation. Listen, here's what's going on in our nation. We've got organizations that have come together with a certain political party. They want you afraid of the coronavirus. We need to take precautions, no doubt about it. So the senior adults are afraid to get out. But now we've gotten lawlessness that's broken out, and people are not being prosecuted for it. The government officials are just turning the other way. So many of our people are afraid to get out, period. And now we're hearing defund the police. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what a rookie police officer makes in Rome, Georgia, when he comes to work for the Floyd County Sheriff's Department, Floyd County Police Department? You know what it is? $34,800 a year. Let me break that down for you. That's about $16.50 an hour. He's out here putting his life on the line to protect your freedoms. I've always been upset that we have a $15 million dog shelter in Rome, Georgia. And we pay our police $16.50 an hour to put their lives on the line. Our firefighters, our police officers, and our first responders ought to be paid a decent living so they don't have to have two and three jobs, some side hustle, to put a roof over their head and food on their table. And there's enough good old boy stuff in this county that could be turned around and fixed so that could take place. But nobody will have the guts to stand up and say, this is what we need to do to back the blue. They're bad police officers. There's a whole lot of bad preachers. There's some bad doctors. I want you to know there's some bad lawyers. They're bad teachers. They're bad principals. They're bad superintendents. There's corruption in every profession on the face of this earth because of the sin nature. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to do everything we can to protect the security, our personal security and our national security in America. Let's look at what the future holds quickly. We can blame America's problem on politicians, Hollywood, the liberals, on the pagan culture, but the future of America is dependent on Christian people. That's our responsibility. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, some people say we need to change. We need to overthrow America. You better be careful when you mess with freedom. There was a man who had a terrible, terrible marriage. And this true story, I want you to know, named Lawrence Ripple, September of 2016. He's a Kansas resident. He had stayed with his wife as long as he could. He said it was just absolutely horrible. So he went down to a local bank in Kansas and gave a note to the teller and said, "This is a stick-up. I have a gun. Give me all your money." And so she gave him all the money in her cash drawer, and it was $2,924. And when he got the money, he went over and sat in the bank lobby and waited on the police to come to arrest him. They came in and arrested him, took him downtown to interrogate him, of course, got the money back, didn't find a gun. And they said, "Why did you do this?" He said, "I'd rather be in jail than to live my wife another day." When he went to court, the judge found him guilty, and his sentence was to go live with his wife 6 more months in their home. The people who are revolting in our nation think there's something better out there, but you better be careful what you ask for. Listen, all this taking a knee during the national anthem, disrespecting the flag, I can't believe how many people support socialist presidential candidates. People lying to America. And I want you to know that I believe that this election will be tampered with in November for president like no other election we've ever had in the United States of America. There's a certain group wants you to vote absentee ballot. We requested absentee ballots for this last election. I got one, she didn't. I had to call the election office and say, "What's the deal?" So she was able to vote, I was able to vote. But sometimes those absentee ballots might not hit the bucket in the right place. So as best you can, make sure you show up personally and vote. Now notice the people God has. He says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Oh, Vance Havner was a great preacher. Here's what he said. There's a striking parallel between the condition of the country and the church. As the Constitution means little to Americans today, so too the Bible means little to the average Christian. Church members are generally as ignorant of the Bible as Americans are of the Constitution of the United States. Too many people within our borders are Americans in name, but un-American in their hearts and anti-American in their conduct. The church has a corresponding ailment. Christians in name, but in reality, are only once-born children of Adam. Wow. The American spirit is sadly eroding because of distrust, corruption, and moral decay. Pride, God hates. The Bible says that God is near to the contrite, but he resists the proud. Humble ourselves means to recognize our dependence on God and to confess that we have sinned against God. Pride means living your life for self without regard to others. If you won't humble yourself, then God is going to do it for us. I don't want this to happen. Don't misquote me. I don't believe America will ever get together. I was praying for revival through this COVID situation. It seems that Satan is using it best. Even Christian people said, "I'm never going to church again." Younger Christians says, "I'm just going to tune in on my electronic device. That fits my schedule better." I believe Satan has used this. Coronavirus is not bringing us together. It's been used to divide us. Politicians and the doctors, they just can't agree on anything, can they? And we sit around here confused. You kept calling the church office, sending this message. When you open it again? I don't know. Does our pastor know anything? He should have opened back in May. Oh, he should have opened it. He should have opened the end of April. Listen, your opinion is not any better than mine. Neither one of us know the right answers. I think it's going to take a physical attack by a military of another country on this nation before we're united again. And I'm afraid it's only then we'll see revival. And by then, it'll be too late. I was reading the other day about a guy named Michael Sparks. Back in March 2006, he went to a Nashville, Tennessee thrift shop. He was shopping around there, and he saw something on the counter there for $2.48. And when he looked at it closer, it was a copy of the Declaration of Independence. So he bought it. So for $2.48, you would think that is a what? A reproduction. Well, he got curious. He had a little extra time. So for the next year, he researched this document that he bought. And here's what he found out. He had it authenticated. This was one of 200 of the official copies that was commissioned by John Quincy Adams in 1820. He bought it for $2.48. By the end of the year, he sold it to a collector, March 2007, for $477,650. Now, I like the interest rate there. I don't know about you. So I want you to know that the man who had actually donated it to the thrift store, his last name is Caffey, C-A-F-F-Y, Stan Caffey. The pipe fitter. He said he purchased it at a garage sale 10 years before. And he said, I have a shop out in the back of my house where I work on bicycles for a hobby to give to kids that don't have them. And he said, when I bought this thing, he said, I nailed it up to one of the studs on the wall. He said, then I got married. And he said, I'm a pack rat, and my wife made me clean out the house. And she came in and said, we're going to clean the clutter out of this shop. He said, she made me take down this document. And he said, I want you to know that I went to this thrift store in Nashville and I donated a faucet, a massaging shower head, an antique table, along with this declaration. Caffey said, I'm so happy for the Sparks. If I still had that document, it would be hanging in my garage. I wouldn't know what it was worth. You know, that's a true value. That's a real true value analysis for us as we look at the value of freedom. We're surrounded by priceless privileges as Americans, yet frequently we fail to comprehend the magnitude of the opportunities that are ours for the taking. Don't treat your freedom like trivial clutter nailed to a stud in a shop. Plumb its depth and seek to comprehend its incredible value. One nation under God. We will reassume that position when Christians decide we need to stand up. And the other thing we need to do in the other text I gave you, I'm not going there today, in John chapter 8, true freedom is known with spiritual freedom that is only purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to share that message, because changing laws is not going to save this country. America will be changed one heart at a time through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 95% of us never share Christ with one person in our lifetime. It's time for 100% increase in that. Who's your one? Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just assume that the altar for you today is that chair where you're sitting. There may be a decision you need to make. If you need to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, a staff member will be glad to stay after this service and meet with you. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood as the price for our salvation. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. You can slip out the nearest aisle if you want to right now and just go to the Connect desk in the Family Life Center or to the Welcome Center desk, and a host or a hostess will take you to one of our staff members' offices and meet with you after church. Maybe you're here today, you've already been saved. Need to follow up with believer's baptism. Do the same thing. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that's involved with missions and evangelism. You need to move your letter. Do the same thing. I'm going to ask today that Mark, if he would just sing our hymn of invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I think it's time we prayed for our president, our Congress, our Senate, our state, and our local leaders. We ask God that they'll follow the wisdom that you give and not their political constituents. It's time to do the right thing. And that's humble ourselves before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ask him to save our republic. Mark's singing now. You're praying.